Tingle, tingle, Kululimpa! My fellow forest fairies, welcome to Tinglecast, the only twice-monthly podcast devoted to our very favorite Zelda character, Tingle! I'm your host, Great Fairy Spike, and with me, as always, is Pink Fairy Slagkick.
Hey, listen!
Today is March 31st, and this is Episode 1, The History of Tingle.
What a grand history it is.
Before you ask, I just want to get out in front here and address why we have left the SS Game Buoy for the greener pastures of the gay Great Deku Tree Forest. We felt like we weren't quite left of center enough just focusing on feminist issues, LGBT issues, Japanese import gaming, focusing on RPGs and strategy games. So we wanted to focus on something that maybe no one else would ever focus on in a podcast. So we're going to focus exclusively on the most unfairly hated creation in all of gaming, Tingle. So let's get to it. Now we want to start here with just a little bit about Tingle and sort of ask, who is he? Slagkick, who is Tingle?
Well, I mean, if you're looking at a very surface level, Tingle is a 35-year-old man who wants to be a fairy, you know? I mean...
So you.
Rude! But no. I mean, who doesn't want to be a fairy, though? That's the thing that I want to look at today, is that who doesn't want to be a fairy? Why is it so wrong that Tingle's a 35-year-old man who wants to be a fairy? I think it's just something
It might be the bulge.
You know, well, yeah, I mean, it might be the bulge, but I think...
It's probably not the bulge.
Anyways, but what I'm saying is that, you know, he's really trying to recapture the innocence of childhood. And, I mean, I think we all kind of experienced that once in our life. So, I mean, I don't get what the shame's about. Now, I'll definitely let you chime in here, you know, when you have something to say to chime in, but... One thing I want to look at is that, you know, Tingle is, for some reason, hated by so many people, but...
Well, that's what really caught my attention. I've always found Tingle to be quite inoffensive. You know, it's silly, but, I mean, the Zelda games are chock full of silly stuff.
The thing that I notice is that if Tingle was really so bad and, like, was really that hated overall, why does he keep appearing in games to this day?
Well, you know, I hadn't really thought about this prior to right this very moment, I suppose, but I can't help but suspect that Tingle is probably not hated in other parts of the world the way he's hated here.
Oh, no, certainly.
I mean, I think about the, you know, IGN smear campaign against poor little Tingle from some number of years back. I think you have a schedule to talk about it later on.
Yes, yes.
But... I assume that in Japan, he's probably looked at as very funny, sort of like the hard
very
gay,
whimsical.
The hard gay persona that was very popular in Japan in the early aughts.
And you know, the thing that I really personally strongly feel about Tingle is that if you look at the Zelda series as a whole, and I've just got to say that, you know, it took a lot of convincing to get Great Fairy Spike to be willing to switch over to this format of talking about Tingle because...
Well, you know, I have really strong feelings about Tingle. I've been a fan since way back.
Now,
I had a GeoCities website based around Tingle. I was part of the number one Tingle web ring on the internet.
Wow. Web rings. That takes you back, thinking about web rings and...
So I was really trepidatious about coming back to this topic, but you made a pretty compelling argument that, you know, there's a lot of sort of the standard stuff we covered on our old podcast...
Right.
A lot of, you know, there's a lot of homophobia sort
yes.
of tied into this character's perception.
And I think people maybe don't even realize that they're perceiving it because they're like, oh, well, he's not gay. He's just a video game character. But no, somewhere in the inner machinations of your machinations.
Just go.
Of your mind, if you someone who hates Tingle, I really think that, you know, you've really got to examine what is it about him that you're judging.
Because, yeah, as you say, you know, he's just a whimsical, innocent person who longs... It's like Peter Pan. You don't... If Peter Pan offends you, okay, maybe Tingle will also offend you. But if Peter Pan doesn't offend you, that's the lens through which maybe you should be looking at Tingle.
And, you know, I want to move on to another point, but you just made me think with the Peter Pan talk, I think a lot of people look at Tingle and have this hatred for him the way that people looked at Michael Jackson before he passed away.
Yeah.
And of course now he's totally, you know,
he's basically been sainted.
Yeah, but I mean, for a while it was like, oh, you know, all the Michael Jackson jokes. And, you know, I'm not trying to implicate Tingle in any sort of scandalous behavior. He's, you know, he's very innocent, but I think the spirit of it is the same. Now, the thing that I really strongly believe about Tingle is that when you're looking at the Zelda series, you know, there's the whole official word from Nintendo is that every game represents a different generation of Zelda and Link, you know, and there's some exceptions with the sequels. And,
yeah, yeah.
But overall, it's, you know, generally a different Zelda and Link. Now, you look at, and we'll be talking very soon in a few moments about Tingle's appearance in the Zelda games, but you think of, he was in Majora's Mask first, and then his appearance in other games, if that's a different Link in Zelda in each game, then it's a different Tingle. So where I think that, you know, where Link is the hero archetype, Zelda might be, like, you know, the powerful, but...
Are you suggesting that Tingle is the author voice looking back at these honestly, earlier days in his life longingly and wishing that he could relive those innocent times?
You just blew me away, because no, that's not what I thought at all, but that's a really, really fascinating interpretation. But, you know, like, so Zelda is, you know, very rooted in the hero cycle and all these archetypes. And so, you know, Link would obviously be the hero. Impa is the wise woman. I think that the role that Tingle serves is like the fool in a Shakespearean play.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, because the thing about, I'm not going to go all English major on all y'all here, but...
Please don't.
Just to kind of put it in a listener-friendly way, the fool is in a Shakespeare play. It's kind of like the Joker, you know, the jester. And you know, it's kind of there for the amusement of the royalty, but really is, like, usually the wisest one and kind of the most pure of the characters. And I think that's the role that Tingle serves.
Interesting. And, you know, oftentimes in literature, the fool is the one who sort of says the truths.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm getting at. And, you know, so, I mean, who are we to put Tingle down when he is this character representing this archetype of the fool? And, you know, that's the whole thing that, you know, is humorous about the fool is that they're actually not the foolish one. And by their truths and being true to themselves, expose the, because I mean, you think about the Zelda world, it's crazy, but you know, so that's why I think that,
yeah, like, I usually try not to think about Zelda.
Now, you know, before we talk about his appearance in the games, I have to ask you just really honestly, is your beef with the Zelda franchise because we don't have enough Tingle?
It's not, but since we're recording Tinglecast, I kind of really wish it was.
Do you think that maybe that's part of it, and you just hardly haven't addressed those thoughts?
No, I mean, I can definitely say that if Tingle were in Twilight Princess, I'd be more into Twilight Princess. I can definitely say that if Tingle were in Skyward Sword, I'd be way more into Skyward Sword, although I already thought that game was really good. But no, it's really other things about the Zelda formula. Okay. In fact, and I'm going to touch on this during our sort of major discussion in probably about 5 or 10 minutes, but I think that Tingle has, in his spin-off games, really sort of out-Zelda'd Zelda.
Yeah, right? So basically what you're saying is that that's not that the lack of Tingle makes you dislike a Zelda game, but that the presence of Tingle definitely enhances the experience for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I really like weird stuff, and Tingle's pretty weird.
You know, I just have to say, you know, are you ready? Do you feel that we've kind of covered who Tingle is?
I think we have. Do you want to talk a little bit about the games he's been in?
Yeah, I want to talk about the appearances he's made in Zelda games. And, you know, some of, like, the handheld ones I'm not as knowledgeable on. So please jump in where you can offer expertise. But I just have to say, okay, Majora's Mask is where Tingle made his debut. And, you know, it's weird because it's that game is so loved by so many people. And when I think back, a lot of the things that I remember, like, oh, I love that about that game. Like, at first I'm like, no, wait, that wasn't in Ocarina. That was in Majora's Mask. And one of those things was Tingle. I have really, really strong memories of, you know, when you first get into Clock Town after you've done the whole Deku Mask thing and you have to hop around as a Deku. And then you finally get out into Clock Town and you go into, I don't know if it's East or West. I haven't played Majora's Mask in a while, but, you know, you go into the one part of Clock Town is kind of like very tranquil, you know, kind of away from all the hubbub of the city life. And then there's just Tingle floating up and down on his balloon. And I was just like, you know, that just spoke to me. I don't know what it was, but that spoke to me. And, you know, I mean, I think a lot of the Tingle, I don't want to say Tingle lore, because, you know, like, I don't feel that the game series, or, you know, the creative team behind the games have really put enough thought into the
Tingle. So you mean his characterization?
His characterization? Well, I suppose, but, like, the things that we think about Tingle, you know, that he's a 35-year-old man dressed as a fairy, you know, so, yeah, I mean, that was really important for him to be established as a character. So, yeah, and, you know, that I think if they hadn't, even though, you know, we don't really have a lot of Tingle War or, you know, his deeper involvement in the Zelda mythos, you know, his characterization, yes, was so well done that I think that if they hadn't captured what they did in Tingle and Majora's Mask, that, you know, he might have not been such an endearing character that clearly at least people at Nintendo have a great love for because they keep including him in games.
Interesting.
Do you have any Tingle memories from the first time you played Majora's Mask?
You know, the first time I played Majora's Mask, he came out, I was cackling. It was just so weird. I mean, that's a weird game already. And, like, this over-the-top weird guy was like...
Well, yes, like I said, he is the fool. He's there to make you laugh, but also... You know, and one thing that I totally forgot to mention, but, I mean, I think it specifically was introduced in Majora's Mask, you know, was he sold you the maps. He was the possessor of knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, oh, oh, look at the fairy man bouncing up and down on a balloon. But it's like, no, you want to know how to get the fuck around Termina? You need to take him seriously.
I hadn't really thought about it, but it's even more true. And, well, I'm just going to mention it and then sort of step back. But it's even more true in Wind Waker.
Yes.
You obviously, like, literally, like, you need him to get the Triforce, like... Anyway, back on track. Yeah. We'll get to Wind Waker shortly. Majora's Mask, cool, weird character. I enjoyed it. Already saw some negativity on the internet. Didn't really care.
Yeah, I mean, and I feel like, even though, you know, if you ask anyone who's a pretty big Nintendo fan, what do you think about Majora's Mask? They're most likely to say, oh, yeah, I actually really like that game.
That was a great game.
But I think a lot of people would have to think about it. And, you know, unfortunately, some people might be like, oh, well, you know, Tingle was super weird.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So I can't help but wonder, even though that, you know, I think that it's a very celebrated and much loved game, it's often forgotten. And I have to wonder if that's because people were already formulating these negative perceptions of Tingle.
But, you know, it might also just be symptomatic of how late in the Nintendo 64's life cycle that game came out.
That's true.
And you know, it also, Big Brother Ocarina of Time, you know, it's pretty tough competition for little Majora's Mask. So I don't know that the Tingle factor, pardon my redundancy, factors in so strongly. But it could definitely be part of it.
Yeah.
You have here that he was in Oracle of Ages.
I have to confess, I didn't really play a lot of Oracle of Ages. I know that just on our final episode of Game Booby that we did, that we just put up a while ago, that we were talking, that I recommended that you go play them. I think they're cool. You know, they're based on the, like, Link's Awakening whole, you know, because the Zelda handhelds in themselves are a whole other world. And, I mean, I think that's super cool. I never really put too much time into Oracle of Ages, and I feel a little bit ashamed now, because if I hadn't realized back then that Tingle was in Oracle of Ages, I would have played the hell out of that.
Yeah, I don't remember him being as big of a figure in that game. Like, he has, like, a satchel upgrade or something.
But, again,
but
it's,
yeah,
it's important for Link's journey.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, also establishing that, you know, he's here to stay. Although, you know, like you did note earlier that we haven't seen him in a while. But, I mean, I have some thoughts about that, actually. So, we'll go ahead and move on, because I didn't play a lot of Oracle of Ages. Did you play a lot of it?
I did, actually. But
so what you're saying is that you don't really remember Tingle being utilized as much as he could have been.
I don't think that he was a major character in that game. I would say that Tingle was a major character in Wind Waker, for example.
Right. So just to sum it up, in Oracle of Ages, you felt Tingle was
underutilized.
Let's talk about Wind Waker, because...
Let's talk about how in Wind Waker, Tingle starts off in jail and you have to break him out.
Talk about, like, an epic...
Well, I feel like it's you know, sort of meta commentary on attitudes towards Tingle.
Right?
But then Link, you know, has to break him out of prison. Tingle gives him the Tingle Tuner and then helps him find the Triforce pieces. Like, I literally could not think of a character more vital to basically any Zelda game other than Link himself.
And
obviously, you know, Ocarina of Time, you have Impa and Zelda.
And now, would you say out of the modern Zeldas, because I know Zelda 2 is your favorite Zelda, would you say out of the modern Zeldas that Wind Waker's probably your favorite?
Probably.
Do you think that Tingle's crucial role in that game influences that?
Not strictly, but I actually enjoyed the Triforce charts, even though I know a lot of people didn't. And Tingle does figure in there, so maybe. I liked exploring, I liked adventuring, I liked sailing the seas.
Yeah, and you know...
I like Tingle.
A little bit later on in the episode, we're going to talk about Tingle's family, and there's actually, I was reading up, there's some thoughts about... how his family relates to that, to the whole Triforce hunt thing. So, interesting. He was also in Four Swords Adventure.
Yeah, he comes in and steals the big rupees if you, see them and then don't get them in time.
All I've got to say is, you know, I actually have a real world example,
Get money? What?
Great Fairy Spike and I were,
Oh, girl.
We're shopping at the store, and I feel kind of guilty saying this, but there was just a $20 bill lying around, and no one was picking it up. So I was like, you know, finders keepers, I'm sorry, you know.
You tingled it?
I tingled it, I've got to admit. So, you know, some people might say that was greedy of him, but, you know, I mean, I'm sorry. If you saw, like, a rupee lying around... And no one went for it.
Well, I mean, that's
can you blame him?
That's a thing that Link does in every Zelda game. Like, just there's some rupees here on the floor. I'm gonna take them. I'm gonna break jars in your house, and if there are rupees in them, I'm gonna take them.
I'm gonna kill some monsters, and if there's rupees in them, I'm gonna take them.
Yep, those monsters didn't do nothing to you, Link.
Did you ever see Tingle slicing up monsters?
Slicing up eyeballs.
Tingle was also in Minish Cap.
Yeah. Wasn't he just a Kinstone fusion, though?
Honestly, I didn't play a lot of Minish Cap, and I regret not playing a lot of it, because it was a really neat little game.
Yeah, I think that his whole part in the game was, like, explaining the Kinstone fusions, and I think he gave you something special if you did them all, But it wasn't like a real storyline thing. Although you do have to do a couple of fuses to get through the game. And I loved Minish Cap.
Yeah, like I said, I feel bad that I never got further than I did because, and you know what you were just saying again, proof that even if it's not something as crucial as I'm helping you find the Triforce so that you can restore order to Hyrule, which is now underwater. Sorry for the 10-year-old spoilers, by the way. But if you haven't played Wind Waker, then I'm sorry you've been deprived. You've been depriving yourself of an amazing experience. But so you know, even if it's not as crucial to the plot, that Tingle once again is passing on knowledge, aiding Link in his journey. And last, as far as his appearance in main series Zelda games, or you know, even though people might argue the handhelds are not main series, but you know, they're Legend of Zelda games, and there's an important distinction there because we'll talk about that in a minute. But Phantom Hourglass, which makes sense because sequel to Wind Waker. And again, like I'm just realizing talking about all of these that I've never really given the handheld Zeldas their due. But I liked Phantom Hourglass when I played of it. I don't remember running into Tingle. So do you remember?
I don't think Tingle was actually in that game. Where did you see that he was?
You know, when I was researching this episode. Okay.
I'm only familiar with him in that game in the context of, like, there was a poster his face on it or something.
That's what it says here.
And he was wanted, in fact, for, I don't recall it.
Interesting.
Detailing the crimes he was wanted for, but.
And, you know, I do have to say I have a Wikipedia entry open for reference.
I believe that was also true for Spirit Tracks, which I liked both of those games tremendously, as you all
had a Tingle figurine in the Castletown shop. And apparently in Skyward Sword, a Tingle doll can be seen in Zelda's room at the Knight Academy.
Zelda's room?
Zelda's room.
Zelda's.
And I have to confess that, you know, because I'm not as knowledgeable in some of his appearances, that I do have the Wikipedia entry open. But I have two things to point out. When you do a Google search for Tingle, do you know what the first thing to come up is?
What's that?
Tingle's Wikipedia entry.
Awesome.
And you know how sometimes, like, if there's, you know, the disambiguation page or whatever they call it, where it says, oh, Tingle could mean one of these things. Or so you would expect that it might say, like, Tingle, video game character. Nope. Do you know what the URL for Tingle's entry is? Wikipedia.org/wiki/Tingle, not Tingle, video game character.
That's awesome.
So the people at Wikipedia... This says, this article is about the video game character for the Australian tree for the sensation of tingling, see other pages. So they're like, nope, Tingle as an entry on Wikipedia is about our much maligned but much beloved fairy friend.
So I think it's time to talk about Tingle's own games.
Yes,
and I want to go, so. And I'm going to break from your notes here. I warned you about this. And I'm going to talk about the most interesting one last.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
So let's start with the least interesting. Tingle's Balloon Fight.
That was just kind of I felt more of a promotional.
Oh, well, I mean, appearance. Yes, it's exactly that. It's literally just Balloon Fight, but you're controlling Tingle on his balloon, and it plays music from Tingle's Rosy Rupee Land.
Oh, see, that's cute.
It's cool, except Balloon Fight already has, like, some of the sickest music in all of Nintendo, so I don't know about all that. And I like Tingle.
But, you know, I think it's a cute... I think of how Nintendo Land kind of played with some of the classics like that. I think that this was really possibly their first foray into, okay, how about we... reskin, so to say, a classic experience with a new look.
Well, and that's exactly what they did. And I have to say, the box art for it was fantastic. You know, it was a Club Nintendo exclusive. But,
yeah, I'm so jealous of anyone who has one.
It's just like the Famicom box art for Balloon Fight, but with like a cutout of Tingle like taped over it.
Oh, that's cute.
It's pretty much super adorable. So, yeah, I mean, I've played it. It's, you know, it's really super interesting from a collector's perspective because it was a
I assume
Nintendo.
You don't have a copy?
I don't. I should see about getting a copy.
I was going to say, I kind of want to look on eBay. Obviously not right now when we're recording. But I think we might need to look this up on eBay and see what we can do because I feel like any Tingle enthusiast really deserves to have a complete collection.
Yeah, certainly I do. So, let's see. What was the next one on your list? We have Color-Changing Tingle's Balloon Trip of Love. Do you have anything to say about this game?
You know, I actually didn't play that one. I remember when we were planning this episode that you kind of have an issue with that. That seems to be the generally accepted English translation, but you have an issue. You said you have an issue with the way they translated that.
Did I?
Well, because it literally means ripening Tingle's balloon trip of love. Irozuki Tingle no koi no balloon trip.
Yeah, and you know, I think I can't say for sure, but I think my qualm at the time was with
the color changing.
Well, yeah, because if you think about it in terms of like ripening, and you look at the actual like logo of the game, there's lots of roses involved, and this is all like ties into sort of the whole Bara, like Japanese sort of ambiguously gay men thing. Mm. And I feel like you miss a lot of that. You also miss the tie to you know, in sort of contrasting the previous Tingle game of freshly picked.
Yes.
Tingle's Rosy Rupee
Land. That's a very, very good point. And now, was this the one that had, like, the burly builder man, or was that freshly picked Tingle's Rosy Rupee Land?
They are in freshly picked. I can't say for sure whether or not they're
in color changing. Okay, well, I'm not going to elaborate, because I'll let you talk about that when we talk about freshly picked.
The interesting thing about color changing, and I've admittedly spent a very, very small amount of time with the game, but it's like a Wizard of Oz-inspired dating sim starring Tingle.
Wow.
As a point-and-click adventure.
Right. And I think, isn't he like, aren't there like bikini babes and stuff in it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I think is this establishing that he's heterosexual?
I think so. I believe that this game is meant as a direct statement to be like, oh, no, he fits in the ambiguously gay sort of, you know, media stereotype, in terms of actual orientation, he's heterosexual.
They're really playing with the tropes there in an interesting way and subverting the tropes, I would say.
I think so. I was really interested in the game. Unfortunately, I was playing it in Japanese. And
right, that's the reason why I really couldn't play it, because,
you know, I tell you, I can play games in Japanese, but it's not easy. And after a point, it's like, especially on like a smaller DS screen, it's like, okay, I'm having to think about like every single word here. Like, I'm kind of done with this.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that probably got in the way maybe of your experience with the game.
Yeah. Oh, definitely, definitely. I was very interested in what I saw. I would, you know, I feel like these Tingle games are just absolute playgrounds for Nintendo to sort of work out new design ideas they're working on.
The thing in I believe I've talked about this on our old show, Game Buoy, that I brought up that I think that the Zelda series has gotten a little stale over the years, and I'm sure that you would strongly agree with that.
Yup.
You know, I'm a big Zelda fan, and that said, I think that the Wii U entry, I was hoping that Skyward Sword would... Oh, the Skyward Sword was a step back in the right direction.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Honestly, it's just that, you know, Wind Waker was great, and I'm not really gonna talk about this too much because it's not Zelda cast, it's Tingle cast, but
maybe we'll do a Zelda episode of Tingle just because it's connected.
Maybe. We'll see. I really think that there's more that we could talk about.
But... And I just found on eBay a copy of Tingle Balloon Fight for $27. I think I'm going to pull the trigger on that right now.
That's really reasonable. I was expecting it to be like...
Yeah, me too.
like $90 or $234.78 or something like that.
Yep. Continue.
I'm sorry. So what I'm interested in... Well, not what I'm interested in, is what's so interesting to me is that we both agree that the Zelda series has gotten a bit stale, and yet all the innovation and arguably the passion is going into the Tingle games.
Well, I think this is probably a good time to talk about the last Tingle game before we get to the good one.
And you mean the Dekisugi Tingle Pack?
I prefer to call it the Too Much Tingle Pack.
And now, you call it a game, but it's DSiWare.
It's DSiWare. I've never actually experienced
it. We're not trying to say like, oh, it's not worthy of being called.
No, girl, there's hella DSiWare I love.
It's just DSiWare, so. But it's significant because it's part of this Tingle package.
It's a Tingle-themed calculator. A little dancing Tingle that you just get to watch dance. Tingle fortune teller. A timer with Tingle counting down the time in his eyes. And like a little coin, flipping coins with Tingle minigame.
See, I usually don't go for DSiWare like that, but if that had been available over here, I would have gotten that.
Yeah, me too, for sure. Unfortunately, I can't really speak to the quality of these things. I'm cheating. I'm looking at a description of this specific game, or I should say application, because I you know, even through all of the cool import people I know, I don't know anyone who has, you know, Japanese DSi. So, yeah, this is cool. I'd love to play it. Kind of mad at Nintendo that I can't. I would totally give them $5 for this, without question.
Right, right.
Moving on to freshly picked Tingle's Rosy Rupee Land. Why don't you take this one, start this one up? Because once I start talking, it's going to be hard to stop me.
Well, I think the thing that's kind of really significant here is that this is, and like we said, you know, like, I argue, well, I mean, it makes sense to think that for every Link in Zelda generation that there's a new Tingle, but this kind of just spinning off into, like, you know, Tingle as his own character and not in the Zelda mythos, really.
And again, I don't know how much time you've put into Freshly Picked. I've literally spent more than 40 hours.
Are you gonna let me?
Nope. So
I just let me make one point, is that it's really kind of his origin story.
Well, it's actually, it is and it isn't, because in this game, they actually approach becoming Tingle. Like, a character is more or less cursed to become Tingle. And through this curse of becoming Tingle, he ends up overcoming all of the opposition in his way. So, I mean, it is sort of that whole, like, always a Zelda, always a Link, over time, over generations, these...
But it's a separate canon, really.
Oh, well, it is, but it works with that canon still, because it's establishing that in canon that Tingle is a repeating thing, that you know, this curse ends up being someone who is destined for heroics and to save
things. I see what you're saying. So this is not just, like, this is the overall Tingle. This is just the story of one Tingle.
Yes, exactly.
In the way that each Zelda game is the story of one Link.
Exactly. But unlike most Zelda games, not all, a couple of games have referenced this, but unlike most games, Tingle's Freshly Picked, Freshly Picked Tingle's Rosy Rupee Land, it's not just implied, it's explicitly stated that Tingle is a repeating persona who will occur, you know, under a certain set of circumstances.
So, I mean...
Which, again, has been addressed in a couple of Zelda games, but not the majority of them. But Tingle has established it, oh, most certainly.
Like, you know, there's going to be a Hero of Time. There's going to be a Tingle.
Now, the reason why, and I apologize, I needed to have something to drink. The reason why I talk about this game so much and so highly is because I have literally never played another game like it. I've never played another Nintendo game like it. I've never played any other game like it. It's just in so many little ways. First off, I thought the sprite work in it was gorgeous. I love, love, love the way everything is drawn.
And that was done by Vanpool, who did Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga. They did...
I'm not surprised to hear that, actually. It does kind of look like
their art style. They're the company behind Dylan's Rolling Western, who we talked about on the old show Game Movie.
Oh, yay. I like that game a lot. I didn't realize that was them. That's cool. They're clearly good people.
They actually also did the Dekisugi Tingle Pack and Color Changing. So I didn't realize that they were the ones behind all of
that. That's great. I'm a big fan of Vanpool now.
Yeah.
And you know, this game...
Oh, they also did Sticker Star with Indulgent Systems.
Oh, neat. I no longer hate Sticker Star. But this isn't a podcast about that.
If it was Tingle Sticker Star, I probably would have been...
Oh, that would have been great.
I'm going to be there for that.
That would have been great. One of the very cool things about Tingle was the way it approached combat. Like, you get into fisticuffs, and, you know, you'd see Tingle in, like, almost like a cartoon, like, a fight, like a big dust cloud with, like, fists coming out of it.
Oh, wow. And
it was just really cute. It was just very clever.
And you know what I thought was cool was that it really took advantage of the dual screens.
Yes.
Like, you know, you would see, like, on your bottom screen, you would see one area of the room, and then it would continue to the top of your DS.
Yeah. Who cares? We're just going to keep rolling forward. Yes, I sent you a message on Facebook. Ooh, our listeners can't know. And, you know, I'm sort of saving my favorite mechanic for last, but this game had a really incredible bargaining mechanic. Where sort of every character, like, that you're trying to have a money exchange from, be it to open up a new section or you're trying to buy something from them, they would sort of internally have a price decided. And you would have to sort of guess what that price is based on sort of the reactions they give you to the offers you make.
Hmm.
And if you, like, go super, super low, they'll get just, like, mad and go home, basically.
Let's play money-making game.
And it's just handled so well, and the game gives you just the right amount of feedback that it just ends up feeling like a really fresh and cool mechanic that's quite unlike anything I've ever played.
Now, what you sent me on Facebook is the sprite work for the bosses, and I have to say, like, I'm not upset, but I didn't realize, spoiler alert, Uncle Rupee ends up being a boss?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
He's actually like he's like the big evil guy, basically. Like, he's the evil that you become Tingle to fight.
Except he's kind of the one mentoring you at the beginning?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, man, I just talked about hella spoils.
It's okay. Honestly, you know, that's making me excited to play all the way through. Because, I mean, yes, we may know now that Uncle Rupee is basically betrayed. Does he betray Tingle, would you say?
I don't know if I'd say betray. Well,
but I mean, even though now I know that he is the big bad, I'm, like, so fascinated and, like, dying to find out how that unfolds. So I don't really consider it a spoiler in the sense of, oh, now I don't want to play it, you know. And I have to ask you, I see on this boss page, it shows Uncle Rupee, Grand Rupee, and Rupee. Are those, like, his three forms?
Well, okay, so the game basically becomes like a shooter at that point. And all of the rupees that you have saved up throughout the game become your ammo, and you, like...
Which is a clever tie-in to how... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but a clever tie-in to how in the very first Legend of Zelda, you would have to spend a rupee.
Yes, it yes, it absolutely is.
Ah, that's amazing.
And it's uses like the touch screen, so like you point it and then you start like throwing rupees in that direction, and
that
you basically
sounds amazing.
You basically have to throw like a couple hundred thousand rupees at this boss in order to.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is crazy. There's also like some laser cats and stuff. Like, it's pretty cool.
And I'm looking at these characters, and there's definitely, it's definitely playful. There's Deathbug and later Ultra Deathbug.
Oh yeah.
I like Captain Stealthos.
Very piratey, which I dig, you know.
Yeah, you know, that kind of was our thing for pretty much full year. And then Captain Stealthos Possessed, which reminds me of Ultros because he has little tentacles.
Yeah, totally.
I see some like Chinese dragon influence, and
just, you know, that's sort of why I linked it to you, just because that art style is so great, and it's just
really neat.
It looks really good. So yeah, I mean, I could probably just talk about just how much I love freshly picked Tingle's Rosy Rupee Land all damn day. It is available in English. It came out not in North America. It came out in the UK, but obviously it is in English. I know that you can import it real easy off Amazon for just 20 some odd dollars. If you're interested, I'd recommend you take a look. It's very cool. It's very unique. And if you have a problem with Tingle, it might actually change that. It's mm-hmm. very funny. There's actually some really surprisingly almost kind of edgy, like sexual humor. But nothing that's so over the top as to be offensive, I would say. I can't speak highly enough of that game. I really like it. I'm a lifelong Tingle fan as a result, and I've done Tingle websites.
I have a quick question before we talk into kind of our.
I have a quick answer.
We have two more points we want to talk about. Two more kind of segments of our debut episode here. But before we do that, I just have to ask. You know, his catchphrase is "Tingle Tingle Kuru Limpa," and in Japanese, that's "Kuru Limpa." Does that translate into anything?
Not that maybe I couldn't.
I was just curious. We might have to do some research, and you know,
girl should have done her research before she recorded.
Yeah. But that said, Tingle is not alone in the world. He has family, and
we are family.
I got all my fairies with me.
I am so sorry out there in Radioland.
The first family member of Tingle's that I want to talk about is his father.
Okay, tell me about
now,
Tingle's father. Tell me about your dad.
I want to meet that dad. And you can meet Tingle's dad in Majora's Mask. He's the Southern Swamp Pictograph Shop owner. I don't think a lot of people... Oh my goodness, I didn't even realize this. I'm referencing back to the Wikipedia entry again. He sees Tingle as a fool. I knew that they had a shaky relationship, but interesting choice of words. Because, you know, I said that Tingle was the fool.
Okay, girl, now you sound like some kind of, like, Lost fan that just can't get over it.
Okay, but, yeah, the important point here is that Tingle... And that's actually the connection. He draws and sells maps for his father, who is the pictograph contest main guy. And I liked the pictograph contest. It was neat, but I never really liked...
Did we not talk about Tingle's appearances in the Smash Brothers games?
You know, I think they were very kind of minor...
Well,
would you like to talk about them?
Well, in Melee, he just appears as, like, a platform with his balloon in the Great Bay level.
That was cute.
But the thing that I really loved was in Smash Brothers Smash Brothers Brawl, where he basically just caused things to go apeshit sometimes.
Yeah, just like tossing out a bunch of items and...
Well, the one that would really always mess me up was when you would summon him as an assist, and then he would... change the stage's gravity so all of the physics would change, like, on just like, it's bam, like, oh, everyone's jumping way higher now.
It's like godly power.
Yeah,
wow.
Right? So, yeah, I mean, anyway, back to your point, Tingle's dad. Fool, you try, you reaching.
No, no, but what I really want to talk about is that, you know, he and his dad don't really have a good relationship. I think a lot of people out there could probably identify with that. And I, like I said, I liked the pictograph shot, but I didn't like his dad because I was like, wow, he's kind of mean to Tingle for no reason. And before we talk about the rest of Tingle's family, I have to ask, where's the mother?
That's a good question.
I don't think we've ever seen Tingle's mother anywhere, and I'm wondering, I get the feeling that there's some really tragic backstory that we haven't seen explored.
Are you hoping that Tingle's mom is dead?
I'm not hoping for that. I would never hope that on anybody. I've never wished that on anybody, but I think it would really be powerful to explore. I'm really curious. Where is the mother? And I mean, is that a contributing factor to his less than stellar relationship with his father? That's what I'm curious about.
So do you have anything to say about Ankle and Knuckle?
Oh yeah, yeah. I was gonna get to that. Now that was in Wind Waker when we were introduced to the rest of Tingle's family.
They're also in Minish Cap.
Yes. But Wind Waker was the first appearance of the family.
Oh, okay.
And now the thing is that one thing to point out is that Tingle's father in Majora's Mask is that Tingle's father. This is, like we said, probably a different Tingle, unless Tingle's somehow immortal when he became Tingle. Who knows? But
pretty sure that's not canon.
Pretty sure that's not canon. So there's Ankle and Knuckle, and then David Jr. I agree that we should talk about Ankle and Knuckle first, because I have a few things about David Jr. to say. So Ankle and Knuckle, they are twins, and now Knuckle's the one who built Tingle Tower, and Ankle kind of helps out at Tingle Tower. So Ankle
and also bitches about Knuckle being super lazy.
But yeah, I think that's more in like a kind of like a just a sibling kind of like, oh, he's so lazy. But I think that I feel like Ankle and Knuckle have, I mean, they're both named after after parts of the body. So you know, there's that relationship. They're twins. So I mean, I think that There really is a strong relationship there. And, you know, I mean, we haven't really seen too much from Ankle and Knuckle. I mean, obviously Tingle's the main fairy, but, and also, the two of them do some stuff with Kinstones in Minish Cap, like you had said.
Yep.
Now, David Jr.
Yes.
Oh, this is interesting. I never realized this. He's actually not related to Tingle.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's actually like their family slave. It's pretty awful.
Oh, wow. I feel really ignorant for not knowing that. Now, okay, so this kind of changes. I feel really like I should have known more about David Jr. Now, David Jr.'s father is, it's implied that his father made the ghost ship chart.
Yes.
And so, see, that's why I was thinking about, oh, that's an interesting twist for Tingle's father, but it's not Tingle's father. Oh, I'm mistaken. I apologize. But,
we're used to it.
Wow, that really opens up a whole new can of worms. I just have to say I'm really looking forward to Wind Waker HD so I can get reacquainted with Tingle's siblings and apparently his servant.
Yeah.
Because it's been a while. I love Wind Waker, but I haven't played it in a good 7-8 years, so I'm looking forward to getting reacquainted with his family. Do you have anything to say about his family that we haven't covered yet?
I don't.
Okay, I had on my notes here kind of a point that I feel like we started to cover it, so I don't think we need to talk about it too much, but
Why do you think Tingle is obsessed with Forest Fairy so much?
Yeah, we did talk about that. Again, innocence, return to youth, longing, nostalgia.
Yeah.
Sort of, and in some ways, I think that Tingle is sort of, again, the sort of adult analog, sort of, writer perspective and all that, so.
Right.
He's obsessed with forest fairies because if you're playing Zelda, by definition, you are obsessed with forest fairies.
Yeah. Very well said. Now, to close out our first episode of Tinglecast here, we want to look at two articles that present very different, contrasting views of Tingle.
Oh, man. This first one makes my blood boil.
This is what we would have
this
called...
This is some subcoat taku shit,
yeah,
right here.
Yeah, this is like what we would have called a lotaku. Lol-taku. would you like me to say this headline?
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Because you're very offended by this, and rightfully so. It's called... the thing is that, of course, unfairly, Tingle is not in the news often. So this article is actually from 2004. But it's called IGN Cubes 2004 Die Tingle Die Die Campaign. So don't read you a little
bit. Kind of does
here.
What it says on the tin, but do read a bit, because I want to make a point about it once you've read a bit.
You know and hate him, and that nutty clown freak that spoils the land of Hyrule like a poison. That eerily happy, giggling annoyance whom always pops up at the wrong time and floats away with a deceitful smile plastered across his lying lunatic face.
Girl, you projecting.
Of course, we mean Tingle, also known as the most hated entity in the Zelda universe. The thing that is really offensive to me is that they made an animated GIF of, like a gun targeting, like you would see in a first-person shooter. And, it's just Tingle there with his map, and then his head gets blown off. It's like, bang, and then there's blood everywhere, and it's just so grotesque.
You know, my problem is, I don't know, hopefully some of our listeners will have read this article when it was contemporaneous, at least the ones that were adults in 2004. There's just an air of, again, sort of almost a homophobia here. And it, like, oh, he's, you know, oh, we don't like him. He's super weird. He's different. And, again, there's just an outright gif of him getting his freaking head blown off.
And, you know, it's awful. They even reference the Four Swords Adventure thing, and they say that Link never forgave Tingle for ruining the games, and that's why the Four Links and Four Swords Adventures try to shoot him down. It's like they're just twisting it to fit their negative perception. And they were talking about, this is before Twilight Princess came out, and they said, you know, there's another Zelda title in development, and that so far there's no sign of Tingle. Our hope is that he's dead, murdered by a bokoblin, perhaps.
Yeah, I don't even know what a bokoblin is, but...
I think it was one of those themes from Wind Waker.
I'm not really here for Zelda lore.
Well, okay, whatever, but... They say, we hate Tingle, we want him dead, and we're not going to stand for him in another Zelda game. And this is just like... There was even a poll that said, vote now, should Tingle die? I wonder if this is still accessible. Let's see. No, it just links to IGN, but I'm willing to bet that probably the most votes went to yes, Tingle should die, and that's just...
It's gross.
Violent,
it's really gross.
Now, fortunately, not everyone feels this way. It's very difficult to find well-written content on Tingle, but, especially since GeoCities shut down, sadly, and...
We'll never see Great Fairy Spike's Tiny Tingle Town again.
Wait, you mean you didn't back it up?
No, who the shit backed things up? I'll see. I mean, I know, like, Wayback Machine and stuff is a thing. I'll see if maybe we can put a mirror of it up, find it, and put a mirror of it up somewhere.
I hope so, because, you know, there are ways for GeoCities that the GeoCities has mirrors, so I think we need to investigate this. Anyways, so this article is from 2010, from ZeldaInMyPocket.com. It's called What Makes Tingle Appealing? And, you know, it kind of is, you know, it's just very brief, but it talks about how, you know, oh, now this is interesting because, you know, I had read this article previously, but reading it after we have had this discussion about him, you know, it talks about what the heck is Tingle anyway? He's an archetype of the child who can't seem to grow up, holds childhood dreams and hopes while ignoring the pressing matter of reality. And it says, how does this affect the gamers? Everyone wants to be a child a little bit longer, but is forced to come with terms that their childhood's ripped from them at age 18. And, you know, that's why Tingle appeals to so many people. And then what's really, I think, important to note is that they say, is Tingle here to stay? Certainly. Tingle has established himself as a solid character in a market which holds no quarter. Nintendo will definitely explore future options for Tingle because of his success. And, you know, I think just to sum this up and wrap this up, why do you think that there's this perception of Tingle being like, oh, he's an annoyance over here, but they love him in Japan so much? I mean, what does that say about our culture versus Japanese culture, you know? Does it mean that we're trying to shut off or, you know, ignore that part of us that, you know, wants to recapture that childhood innocence because we're too tough for that? I don't know. Do you have any thoughts, Great Fairy Spike?
No, I mean, you know, I sort of talked about this a little bit ago, sort of toward the beginning of the episode, just that sort of the attitudes of that kind of ambiguity are very agreeable in Japan and less so here.
Yeah, so I think just to wrap up our episode of Tinglecast here, I want to ask you, Great Fairy Spike, how would you like to see the Tingle franchise evolve?
Well, first I'd like to take a step back and say that I'd really like Tingle to be a playable character in Smash Brothers.
I would love to see that. I mean, not to discredit any of these other characters, but they let Solid Snake and Sonic...
Girl, stop. Solid Snake and Sonic are freaking legends. How yes, very dare you?
But so...
How very dare you?
So is Tingle.
I'm giving you Aubrey O'Day eyes right now.
So is Tingle. Tingle's a legend.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely think that Tingle should be in the game over...
My only point is that they included third-party characters when they could have included Tingle.
Well, I don't think that... The inclusion of third-party characters probably had some sort of promotional consideration involved as well. I don't really think it's fair to say third-party characters Tingle. But I will say, like, maybe y'all could have just had Mewtwo in again, not done Lucario, and the time that it took to make Lucario, y'all could have just done Tingle.
Yep.
Like, I feel like there had to have been a way to make that work. So, I don't know.
Can you imagine playing as Tingle with balloons and Brawl and then, like, being able to inflate your balloon? Because, I mean, like, you think about, like, Kirby.
He basically has a moveset ready for him.
Right? You know, Kirby can fly, Tingle could fly, so it's not like it would break the game.
And then in terms of the franchise moving forward, I'd like to see international releases of the older games, maybe
yes,
on
please.
The eShop.
You know what I'd really love to see?
What's that?
I mean, maybe asking for an HD remaster is a little much, but... Maybe, like, a 3DS remaster. I don't know if that's really a thing with precedent.
My thing is, because it's all sprite-based, it wouldn't really, I mean... certainly you could resample and have higher resolution sprites, but I don't, the game wouldn't jump in quality the way that, like, Ocarina of Time 3D did.
Right.
But, I mean, it would be cool. It would be really great to see these, really unique game features from these games revisited.
So you think the first step in the evolution of the Tingle franchise...
It's for people to realize that the Tingle franchise is an actual real thing that isn't just a joke. Like, it's possible to be a joke and still be serious.
Yeah. And I think that's a valid point that, you know, in order to... For Nintendo... I mean, Nintendo obviously takes Tingle very seriously, but, you know... I think if there was a wider spread acceptance, they'd be more motivated to put more development into Tingle
Tetris. And I choose to believe that most people out there, even in the U.S., if they were to realize that, you know, Tingle, okay, yeah, Tingle is a joke, but it's also very valid. Like, there's a lot of really valid things going on in the game design of those Tingle games.
Yes.
And, I just feel like it gets completely glossed over because it's LOL Tingle.
Tingle. Tingle. Like, now I have to ask you, do you think that we'll get to a point where Miyamoto will come on a Nintendo Direct and be like, this, or not, it's not Miyamoto, I'm sorry, Iwata-san will come on and be like, this year is the year of Tingle.
I do not believe that would ever happen. If it did happen, I would freaking scream.
Yeah.
I would ugly cry. Anyway.
So you think that, unfortunately, that Tingle will still kind of serve a very niche...
I do.
But, like, you know, one that's much needed.
I do. I do think that. And, unfortunately, I'm looking at the time. I think it's time to wrap this up.
Yeah, we... you know, and some people who were tuning in at the beginning were like, how are they going to talk for over an hour about Tingle?
We just did.
We clearly have so much more to say. So, you know... We'd like to thank you for joining us, and hopefully we've opened your eyes to some new viewpoints about this character who really does not get enough attention or respect, which we strongly feel he deserves.
Yep. As always, thank you so much out there in Radio Land. Thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. Keep thinking. Keep gaming. And tingle, tingle, Kululimpa!
Please join us next time for TingleCast number 2. We will be discussing Tingle cosplay tips. So I have a question for you.
Yeah, what's that?
Say that the next Zelda game had full voice acting. I mean, obviously wouldn't be voice acted. But what I want to know is, how do you think that Tingle would sound with an American voice actor?
Like Freddie Mercury?
Can you do a little for me there?
Tingle, tingle, Kululimpa!
See, I'm thinking of something more like this. Tingle, tingle, Kululimpa.
Oh, girl. Probably. Honestly, probably.
My name's Tingle, and I'm a 35-year-old forest fairy. Maybe I should audition for Tingle if that's ever a thing. Tingle really needs
his own... I don't think we can do this bit in the show. I don't think...
Okay, but you know what? Tingle really needs his own anime series. I'd
watch it.
I would fancy.
It would be better than that god-awful Fire Emblem series. So when we actually record, let's not mention April at all. Like, let's just let people figure it out. But also, let's be legit. Let's have a real, like, it'll be a joke, but it'll be serious. And I'll even hit that theme as a leitmotif during the show.
Okay.